Would you turn in God's word to the book of Genesis and to that 47th chapter? Book of Genesis, chapter 47. With God's word open before us, we'll unite together in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for that beautiful land, the land of glory. We pray, Lord, that we might live in expectation of it and live in assurance of what thou hast provided in Christ for us in eternity. We thank thee for thy word. And as we look into this passage, we pray for divine strength and enablement as we both think and meditate upon it, close our thoughts in with thee. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Grant power with which to speak well of the Lord Jesus, and his truth, and his word. Remember us now, and we pray that you'll comfort our hearts. We think even in the light of this passage, of its message for us today, O God, guide and direct. May it be a passage that encourages, comforts, even in the face of loss of our loved ones and in the face particularly of death itself for us. O God, may we live in the light of thy truth in view of eternity. Remember us now, and help us as we come to your truth and your word. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. There is a verse I wish to leave with you, and then I'll draw attention to a line that is found here in this passage. But the verse is a quotation. It's from the mouth of a man called Balaam in Numbers chapter 23. He had this to say concerning the camp of Israel as he looked upon it, the people of God. He said, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." And there's a verse that is found here in this portion that we have read, I wish to leave with you. It's found in verse 29. "And the time drew nigh that Israel, that is Jacob, must die." The thought I'm going to leave with you today is this: that as this godly man, Jacob, or let's use his spiritual name, Israel, the man who is a prince of God, as he came near to death, how did he die? Because like Balaam of old, I believe as we look upon this godly man, we would also concur with what wicked Balaam said, though in this instance he spoke the truth. "Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his end." I trust that as we look at this portion of God's word, it will encourage us, comfort our hearts. We have faced the loss of loved ones and friends. We've lost a colleague in the ministry, our brother Robert, our own family, if I may speak personally. We have had a deep and a tragic loss. But we thank God that these individuals knew the Lord. There's something we can learn from these things. That is, how should we face death? And you've got an event here where a godly man is staring right into the face of death. The time drew nigh that this man must die. Now, how did he die? That's the thought I want to leave with you from the passage. The first thing that strikes me here is that Israel, or Jacob, he approached death in the presence of Joseph. That's a wonderful thought. You will notice the life of Jacob. If you trace back through to chapter 37, you'll remember how Jacob loved Joseph. There was a tremendous bond between them both. In fact, if you go back to chapter 45, you get a sense of that. Chapter 45, whenever he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent with his brothers on their return to the land of Canaan, and then it began to dawn on him that the words they were saying were true. It says there in verse 28, or the end of verse 27, at the end, the spirit of Jacob their father revived, and Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." There's a little verse in the passage dealing with Jacob's return or coming into Egypt and meeting with Joseph, and you'll find Joseph and Jacob, and they're wrapped in each other's arms. There had been some 20-odd years of separation. Jacob thought Joseph was dead, and the Bible says that as they put their arms around each other, that they fell on each other's neck. And there they were a long time, the Bible says. Can you imagine the scene? As father and son were reunited, there in each other's arms. And while the Bible doesn't picture or give us the time, the duration that they held on to each other, we can imagine those looking on, wondering when was it going to end. Such was their embrace, and such was the tender love between Jacob, Israel, and Joseph. But the thought I would leave with you is this, that as Jacob came into Egypt, remember what it says there in verse 28, Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So as we think of Jacob, before, in the days of separation, he said, "I'll go to the grave, sorrowing, refuse to be comforted." But as he approached death here, these 17 years, and now as the end comes, he has approached that great scene of death in the presence of his son Joseph, whom he greatly loved. And is there not a wonderful picture there? Because remember, Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. And just as Joseph cared and provided for his family and saved them alive, so the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's the one in whom we have come to know as the Savior of our soul. He has cleansed our heart. He has come to our heart and He's given eternal life. He loves us with all His love. And He has shown that love on the cross of Calvary. And as you think here of Jacob, Israel, coming near to the time he must die, he approaches death in the presence of his son Joseph. Now, is that not a great comfort to us? As one day, if the Lord spares his return, we too must go to the grave. We must too face death. One day it will be us who will die. And I don't know your circumstances. You don't know mine. We don't know what a day is going to bring forth. I visited my father-in-law on Friday afternoon. Spent an hour with my sister-in-law, chatting, talking. I thought he'll be home Saturday. In the blink of an eye, 7:05, while talking to some visitors, the next bed, he was gone. He was gone. But men and women, isn't it a beautiful thing to know that if we're in Jesus Christ, we approach death in the presence of our King. That's how we face death. We face death. Maybe as you think of life and you think of the future and you think of, well, what is ahead of me, and fears grip hold of you, here's a tremendous thought: that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ. He walks with us. He talks with us. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He is with us day by day as we've come to know him as our Savior. So as we approach life and as we approach death, we do so in the presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, child of God, that's an important thought. Peter speaks in his epistle of calling things to remembrance. And you know what we must do as we come to our lives and think of the future and even think of death itself that is ahead? Let us call to remembrance that which we have in the Lord Jesus. The Bible speaks of delighting thyself also in the Lord. Are you delighting in Christ? Are you delighting in his word? Are you comforted to know that no matter what takes place, you're in Christ Jesus? We have a gospel mission going on at the minute, and I was saying to our brother who kindly drove us up this morning, my son, he was testifying, and he was saying that he had a great love for gadgets and things like that there, but he went on to say, in a humorous way, I suppose, but he went on to say, well, if I were to step out onto that road and be run down by a John Deere tractor, so that's country life for you, he said, it wouldn't mean anything, for I'd be with Christ. You have to live in these comforts, child of God, and live in the comfort of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord. And you have that picture here as Jacob lives in the presence of Joseph, facing death. As he looked back, thinking now of this time that he must die, he looked back and he saw his family under the care of Joseph. If you look there at verse 27, the name Israel, by the way, there really has dual application for referring to Jacob and to the people, for it says they grew and multiplied exceedingly. You stop and think about that. And just do the sums here. They've been 17 years in Egypt as a family. They moved there. You'll find earlier on that there were some 66 souls. In verse 26 of chapter 46, it says that all the souls were 66, moving down into Egypt. Now you just think, over 20 years had elapsed since Joseph was carried away into Egypt. During that time, they numbered 66 souls. 22 years. If you examine the time, you'll discover it was a time of deep sin in the family of Jacob. In essence, you could say, numerically, they were really getting no place. But look at what it says in verse 27. They had possessions therein, and grew, and multiplied exceedingly. Now, we don't know exactly what that means. But I tell you this, there was no comparison between the days that Joseph was absent and now down in Egypt as the family are under his care. So as Jacob looks back and approaches now death and thinks of the 17 years that has passed, his heart must have been moved as he thought of the blessing of God that had come upon his family. And he saw the care under which they now were. Did his heart not rejoice that his family were now directly under the care of his son Joseph? Is there not a tremendous thought there about our homes and about our families? That as we think of them and we think of the gospel, and we think of what the word of God means. I think, first of all, as a Christian parent, there can be no greater thing than our families under the care of Jesus Christ. And they know our Lord, and they know our Savior. You know, it was a joy to sit in here yesterday afternoon. And I think our moderator made reference to it, didn't they? The family of our brother Emerald. What a wonderful thing it is to see children knowing the blessing of God, knowing God's salvation in their heart and in their soul. There's no greater blessing can come on our family than every one of them know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You might say to me, well, of children not yet saved. Well, we can pray. We can pray that God will bring them under the tender care of the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can pour forth our energies in prayer and our witness to them that they would get under that care. My, our children could have the best of jobs, and they could have the best lifestyle, and they could have the best homes. But if they didn't have Jesus Christ, what would it all be worth? It'd be worth nothing. No, they need Christ. They need the Savior. And oh, Christian parent, as we look back upon our homes and our families, isn't the greatest joy to see our children in Jesus Christ and under his care? So we have that beautiful picture here. Also, could I draw your attention to something else, that as he approached death, did he not look back upon the remarkable providence of God in his life? It was remarkable. He suffered great loss, there's no doubt. I mentioned earlier, didn't I, about Jacob, how that when he heard of the death of Joseph, do you remember what he said? As his sons gathered round him, who had deceived him, by the way, told him that Joseph was dead, basically, and then tried to comfort him. But he said, no, his soul refused to be comforted. And he thought he was going to go to the grave, sorrowing. If we assume that Joseph was with him 17 years, for his age is mentioned in chapter 37, and then he was taken from Jacob. If we assume that he was with Joseph for those 17 first years, and then you have that break for over 20 years, Jacob thought there was going to be nothing but sorrow and nothing but trouble ahead. And if you read the history of his family, that is true. There was great trouble and great sin in his home. But now, interestingly, the Bible says in verse 28 there, Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. Now, isn't that wonderfully significant? It is as if the Lord made up all those years of absence for him. And I think there's a wonderful thought there for God's people. The Bible does tell us man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And we do go through great trial. And we do go through great trouble. Sometimes we may get like Jacob. There's no future anymore. I'm going to go to the grave, and I'm going to go to the grave in sorrow because of the trouble that I have faced in my life, even as a child of God. And you may get to think, well, there's nothing ahead of me. But I would point out something about Jacob. The sweetest and tenderest years of Jacob or Israel's life were his last years. His last years, those 17 years where he saw the face of Joseph. In fact, if you go to chapter 48 and verse 11, whenever Joseph's sons are brought to him, it says there, Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and though God hath showed me also thy seed. The sweetest years of Jacob, Israel's life, were his last years. Now, I don't want to be accused of ageism here in the preaching, but I see a number of older folk. Now, I'm heading there too. But let me just say a little word here to our older folk. You may think like Jacob. I am getting on. And if preacher, you saw the trouble that I had in my life, I'm not going to go to the grave in happiness. I have a lot of sorrows. I want to tell you something. Your sweetest years can be your last years in Christ. Sweetest years can be the last years. I have often noted it, speaking with elderly folk. I remember a little lady in Liverpool in the congregation where I was for a few years, and I used to visit her. She lived in a flat that was a rundown part of the city. Well, enough said. I would go in an entry system because of the area. There she was, just located in this little flat, and you thought you were going in to encourage the woman. Well, it was quite the opposite. I used to go in, and the door would open, the buzzer would go, and the latch would unlock, and I'd go and say who it was, of course. She'd open the door, and I'd say, "How are you?" What she'd say, "I'm just sitting here waiting. I don't know why the Lord tarries. I'm just ready to go. I'm just ready to go to heaven. I'm rejoicing in Christ." You know, the preacher came out encouraged. The woman was already encouraged before I got there. Last years were the sweetest years. Let me encourage you, therefore, that your years, as you approach death, as you draw near to death, they are years when you may draw near unto Christ and know the comfort of his word more than ever you have in your life. Want you to notice quickly that as Israel or Jacob here comes near to death, he does so without fear. And I'll run through this quickly. Think of the fears of Jacob. That's an interesting study. It's one of the most fearful men in the Bible. He feared Esau. Do you remember that? He ran from Esau, had to go. Esau was going to kill him. When he returned, he feared Esau again. He had to get before God and seek God's face. He feared that Esau was going to kill not only him, but wipe out his whole family. He feared Laban. He feared the Canaanites and the Perizzites. You remember whenever his sons Levi and Simeon wiped out the Shechemite men? He said, "You made my name to stink." Feared the Canaanites, feared the people in the land. Feared Egypt. The Bible says in 46 verse 3, as he was making his way down to see Joseph, he feared. But read this chapter. Do you get a sense of fear? No, it's not there. It's nowhere to be found. He feared not as death approached. He feared not, but his heart is full of confidence in the covenant-keeping God. Do you notice there, he faced it with spiritual vision because he wanted his burying place to be in Canaan. Look at what he says there in verse 30. "I will lie with my fathers." Why did he say that? Why did he say he did not wish to be buried in Egypt? He didn't want to be buried there. Wanted to be buried in the place of God's promise. God had promised the land of Canaan. And here's a man full of spiritual vision. I was thinking there of Hebrews chapter 11, when in the middle of that chapter, Paul writes, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." What does Paul go on to say? They that say such things declare plainly they seek a country, a city, whose builder and maker is God. That's what Jacob has in mind here. The promises of God. And as we think of this man approaching death, how is he approaching it? His heart is filled with the promises God has made to him. That's how to face death. Paul the Apostle wrote, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Fear death? No. He's ready to receive the cry. His heart was filled with the heavenly gaze. He hears the promise of Joseph. I'll add that final thought with you. Look at what it says there at verse 30, where Joseph says, by way of promise, I will do as thou hast said. And here's a man putting covenant promises that God has given to him before Joseph. Saying to Joseph, put your hand under my thigh. Promise you will do this. Joseph says, I will do as thou hast said. Child of God, as death approaches, it's a good thing to look to Jesus Christ, our greater Joseph, to receive the mighty promises God has given to us. To say, O Christ, do as you have promised to do to me. You promised eternal life. You promised to bring me safe to glory. Oh, plead those precious promises. Live in them. Live in them. Grasp them. Seize them to your soul and to your heart. That you might be sure of them. You know how Jacob died? He died knowing Joseph would do all the things that he had just promised to do. The promises of God are yea and amen. They are sure. They cannot be any surer. But our difficulty is knowing them, being sure of them, living in the light of them, feeling and knowing that in Christ we have what the Savior has promised to us. That's why they have to be seized, held on to. Are you holding on to them? You're getting before God every day, seeking His Word, knowing its comfort in your heart and soul. I knew a man from a Portadown church, and he passed away, and his wife spoke to me about his closing years. She said he would get up early in the morning and he would go into a little cubbyhole room that they had in the house. It was unusual for him. She said to him, should you not be lying on and getting rest? And he turned to her and said, you don't realize I'm getting older. I'm going to soon die. I need to get to know more of the Word of God and know more of my Lord. It's a beautiful thing. Child of God, as we traverse the scene of time, we walk through our lives and we approach death, it's good to draw closer to our Savior, to know more of His Word, more of His promises, to rest in Him and to be comforted by Him. Oh, may God help us. May God strengthen our soul and strengthen our heart. The time drew nigh. Israel must die. But He does so in the arms of Joseph and in His presence. Praise God as we walk this earth. We're walking in the presence of Christ, knowing the comfort of His truth and His Word. let us put forth our hand more and more upon those precious promises. Rest in them, walk in them, live in them. May God encourage us greatly. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Bless it to our soul and remember us for good. Make the years of our life blessed years, years of comfort under the care, counsel, and under the mighty assurances the Lord Jesus Christ himself gives us. We rest in thee. Continue with us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.